Probably be a little odd service this morning. You just bear with us. A lot of things I want to try to cover today. Anybody know what tomorrow is called? Memorial Day. Memorial Day used to be an important day in this country. I'll share some things about Memorial Day as we go today. But this passage in Joshua just really brought things to my attention. And I'd like to read 9 verses, if you will. Joshua chapter 4. Let's stand together. I promise you I'll get you to the point today, but I want you to see some things. Joshua chapter 4. Here's what takes place right up to where we're going to start reading. The children of Moses has died. The children of Israel are about to finally get to the promised land. They've only got to do one more thing. They've got to cross the Jordan River. The Jordan River, a lot of people believe, was probably at flood stage during this time. Even if it wasn't at flood stage, it was a big river. And they had to cross this river. What was going to be very neat about this crossing was this. There were going to be priests that were going to carry the Ark of the Covenant. As soon as the priest stepped into the water would dry up. Everybody would walk across on dry ground. Then the priest would follow out, and then the water would succeed back together, and the children of Israel would be in the promised land. Now, all that has taken place. Verse number 1 of chapter 4. It came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, take ye hence out of the midst of Jordan, and out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones. And ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called 12 men whom he had prepared out of the children of Israel and of every tribe of man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when he passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests, which bear the ark of the covenant, stood. And they are there until this day. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, today for all your blessings. Lord, I pray for the next few moments that we might understand what this holiday is about. And Lord, I pray that through all the vacationing and the holidays and all the cookouts and everything we do, Lord, we may not ever forget what it took to get us here today. And Lord, we pause this morning and thank you for everything you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Can I ask you why? Why now? Why God wants 12 stones? Why God wants a memorial? Why now? Can I ask that question, why? Anybody ever thought about it? All through their journey, 40 years or more they traveled. All through this journey, we've not set up any memorials. And now we do. Why? Well, I'll tell you why I think. I think it's very simple. I think God knows that man has a short-term memory. God had brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. He'd brought them across the Red Sea on dry ground. As soon as they got to the other side, almost the very next day, they started complaining to God. Why have you brought us out here to die? We're going to starve to death. And all along the journey, I mean, one time God supplied them with a pair of shoes that lasted 40 days. No, 40 years. 40 years, Scott, one pair of shoes. God knows us. God knows that we are the kind of people that forget very, very easy. And so it's important for you and I to have memorials. It's important for you and I to have memorial days. And I'm afraid what's happened in our country, we don't even have a clue why we have this holiday. A lot of people know they get an extra day vacation. A lot of people take Friday off now, and they get a four-day weekend, and I mean the lakes are full, the golf courses are full, and people are having a big time. But I don't think anybody really remembers, or anybody even cares. That's what scares me. Did you know some things about this story? Joshua, this is what God told Joshua, that one day when your children say, "What mean ye by these stones?" then you can say that we were carried across on dry ground. See, God knew there would come a time when even everybody would forget. How many of you got a good memory? Let me throw something at you. I lived on 1821 Panama Avenue. My phone number was 241-5673. That was my phone number when I was 5 years old when I went to kindergarten. And that was my address. 241-5673. My granny's phone number is 423-3345. If I couldn't get Granny, Aunt Phyllis's phone number was 423-3376. If I couldn't get Aunt Phyllis, Aunt Betty's phone number is 423-3302. We lived on the party line, and you had to hold the button down if you called anybody on that line, and you feel the phone vibrating through the phone, and you knew when they picked it up. You used to dial the phone like this. But let me listen to me. I don't know Rochelle's cell phone number. I don't know the church phone number. You know why? Because we're taught not to remember. We're taught to program them in our phones under Rochelle. Amen. We're taught to program. We don't memorize nothing no more. And then when we lose our SIM card or our phone goes in the lake or whatever else happens to our phone, then we don't know nobody's number. But I know at 5 years, I'm 47 years old, and I know, Mom, am I right? That's my phone number when I'm 5 years old. That was my address. Because we were taught to remember. But we are raising generations of children who don't have a clue what's going on because they're all geared into this. Listen, Aaron knows every basketball player statistics. But I doubt if he knows the fruits of the Spirit. I'm telling you today, our memories are not geared for the right things. And God says we need memorials. We need markers up that will say, wait a minute. When you and your son's out here fishing one day, and he says, what's all these pile of rocks about, Papa? And Papa can say, well, let me tell you something. Your great-great-great-great-grandpa one day was a little boy, and they walked across on dry ground. And these priests stood in the water. And where these priests stood, we got a rock from there. And they made this. And my great-great-granddaddy told me this story, and it's been passed on, and now I'm telling you. You got anything to pass on to your kids? It's worth remembering. I'm telling you today that God needs us to remember. And I want you to know something. America was founded on godly principles. America was founded as a nation that wanted to worship. Why the first people came here, y'all not going to believe this, but they came to this country so they could go to church.
Amen.
And now we're trying to find out every reason not to go to church. What's happened to us? I met bicycle riders this morning. I met golfers this morning. I can't tell you how many boats I met this morning. And everybody's taken off from church, and it just aggravates me to death because that's why we're here. That's why soldiers are over there. Do you know that? Do you know why they're over there? You said it's because of terrorism. Baloney. They're over there so you and I will have freedom. That's why they're over there. And freedom to worship. And here we see it. We can't hardly get anybody in church anymore. You know, there's a scripture in the book of Psalms, chapter 90, that tells us that everyone who don't believe and all nations that forget God will be cast into hell. Can I look at y'all just a minute and tell you this? There's a generation of kids growing up in this country who does not have a clue who Jesus is. Not a clue who Jesus is. There was a young lady sitting in our service Wednesday night who had never been to church in her life till Wednesday night. Y'all hear me? Never been to church in her life. And she's in her 20s. Where's she from, preacher? Ohio. Never been to church in her... Y'all hear me? In her life. What has happened? Are we becoming very quickly a nation who is forgetting God? What do we do to fix it? We better get some markers back up. I thought today we'd do a couple of things. Number one, I want to read you some numbers. Let me tell you what it's taken to get us right here today. This is how many soldiers have died. I picked 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 wars. I didn't get them all. I didn't get all of them. I'll tell you the final number in a minute. But I'm going to just tell you some numbers. I think that will bring some things to your attention. The Revolutionary War. I've got a relative that fought in the Revolutionary War. There's a monument in Somerset. His name is on that rock. He's in my family. 25,324 soldiers died in the Revolutionary War. The Civil War. 500,332 soldiers died in the Civil War. You and I are standing in Danville, Kentucky, very close to Perryville. I mean, they were battles that took place right here where you and I are sitting in this town. And I'm telling you that 500,332 soldiers died in the Civil War. World War I, 116,710 soldiers died. World War II, 407,316 soldiers died. Korean, and I hate this, they call it the Korean conflict. Well, the Korean conflict, 54,546 people died. Vietnam War. 58,098 people died. Soldiers from this country. Desert Storm. 293. Iraqi War. I think these are statistics numbers from last year. 819. We got people telling us that this Iraqi War is worse than any war we've ever had in our history. 819 so far have gave their life. Did y'all hear the numbers? If you add these all up and you include the Mexican War and you include the Indian Wars, over 2,100,000 have gave their life so you and I can have freedom to come to church. I got one amen. Over 2 million soldiers gave their life so you can have freedom to come to church. I'd like to do this morning. If you have served in the armed forces in the United States of America, I'd like for you to come forward. You don't care, tell us what war you was in, if you was in the war. Brother Correll, was you in the war?
Yes, sir.
Which one?
World War II.
WC?
Korean conflict.
First Gulf War? Vietnam era.
Vietnam.
U.S. Army, I wasn't in the war.
All the deserts.
I think we ought to give them a rising, standing thanks. Do this with me. Everybody turn right over there to that flag. And let's do the pledge. How many of you are still proud to be an American?
Amen.
Greatest country in the world. And I'm telling you today, you're looking at those from everyone that we said today, except the Revolutionary War and World War I and Civil War, they're here. We've got men that's fought in all these wars. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Y'all can be seated. Thank you, guys. How many of you go to the cemeteries during this time of year? Do you notice the military tombstones? See, when I was a boy growing up, you never would go by one of those stones, Brother Tom, that there wasn't a flag stuck in the ground. Have you noticed we don't have enough money now? Our economy's so bad that nobody can buy flags anymore. Do you know they sell them at the dollar store? I went and bought a bunch of them yesterday, so when we go tomorrow, Aaron can stop by every grave that we can find, at least in our family, and make sure the ones that fought in the military are right there. They got a marker. We need to take more pride in our country than what we do. We need not forget how we got here. We need to have a Memorial Day weekend. We do. But we need to remember why. Because of those who put their life on the line. And for that over 2,100,000 that died, that you and I may choose to come or not come. Do you know today in this country, there are no one probably being threatened? How many of you have ever been beat up for being a Christian? Do you know why I'm speaking right now? That there's people like, you know, there's people being murdered right now for being a Christian? Murdered for being a Christian. And here we are in a country where it is free to make that choice. And I'm afraid we forgot. There was a speech that was given. Last fall I got to stand on this piece of ground where this speech was given. This speech was given 100 years before I was born. It's called the Gettysburg Address. Shortest presidential speech in history. But it's still out there. Used to be memorized by school kids. Now barely read. And I would like to read it to you. See this battlefield that President Lincoln was standing on 4 months ago had just had over 10,000 people left dead. Less than 10 acres spot of ground, over 10,000 people had died. 50,000 were casualties of the Civil or the Gettysburg War. 50,000. Many of those end up dying later from complications. But over 10,000 were dead when the battle was over. The president of our country stood in that battlefield 4 months later. 4 months later, and he said these words. 47 years ago, our fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to a proposition that all men are created equal. Now we are engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that this nation or any nation so conceived and so dedicated can long endure. We are met here on a great battle of war. We have come to dedicate a portion of its final resting place for those who gave their lives that the nation might live. It is altogether fitting and proper that we should do this. But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men living and dead who struggled here have consecrated it far above our poor power to add or detract. The world will little note nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. It is for us, the living, rather to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they have thus far so nobly carried on. It is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from this honored dead we take increased devotion to the cause for which they have gave the last full measure of devotion. That we are here highly resolved that these dead shall not have died in vain. Now I want you to think about this for a minute. I don't know how many died on those boats coming over to this country. But I've done told you over 2 million have died in foreign fields for this country. And what this president said, may they not have died in vain. You know what determines that? What you do with your freedom. When you pass by a cemetery today, take this stop. I don't think you'll pass one that doesn't have a military stone in it somewhere. And tell me before you walk away, is it worth it? And then ask yourself, do I take my freedom for granted? He said that it wasn't done in vain, that this nation shall have a new birth of freedom, and that this government of the people and by the people and for the people shall not perish from the earth. Wow. What a speech. He said it all. Do you know something? This was a president that started his day with prayer. This was a president who believed in God. This is a president who probably was the president at the worst time in American history. Everybody's complaining about poor old President Obama. He's inherited all the problems. And I don't know, it's not fair to him. Listen, here's a man of God who took on a civil war in his own country and was the greatest leader we've ever had. You know why? Because God was number one in his life. God was number one in his life. But let me stop this service and change directions and we'll go home. I want to tell you about one other soldier. Of all the soldiers we can think about, there is a cemetery in Washington where soldiers stand at guard 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, year after year after year. But I'm telling you of a greater soldier than that soldier. He was the one that came and fought for your sins. He left a kingdom. He left where he was worshipped and honored. And he came to a world that the world wouldn't receive him. He was mocked, ridiculed, spit upon. He endured a cross. He endured the beatings. And He died for your sins. And this is what the book of 1 Corinthians says. The book of 1 Corinthians. Chapter 15. Verse 55 through 58. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of the sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now get this phrase. For as much as you know that your labor is what? Did we hear that a while ago in the president's speech? You know what I believe? I believe Abraham Lincoln had another marker in his life. I believe it was a cross. And I believe every day of his life he thought about a cross where a man came and died who had never sinned. And he hung there to take away the sins of the world, but more importantly, his sins. And he thought, whatever I do, if I become the leader of this great country, I'll never forget that marker. I'll never forget what he did for me. And I wonder today, is it in vain sometimes? Are we getting like the rest of the world and we don't even remember anymore? How quick we forget. God needs you to remember. You know why? For a 20-some-year-old girl who had never been to church before. It may take you taking a piece of paper next Saturday and putting it in somebody's hand, inviting them to the church for the first time, that somebody like Joseph may talk to them during Bible school and like last Sunday, get saved. God may need you to do that. So that another child will not live in this country and not know who God is. I'm telling you today, we need to remember. We need to remember. I know you're busy. I know you've got a lot of plans, but I tell you what, we need to remember. Jesus paid it all. And you know what? One day in the book of Revelation, the Bible says He's coming back. He's coming on a white horse. I want you to know something. He's a leader of an army. He's a leader. But He came as a soldier that time by Himself to pay your sin debt. Do you remember that? How many of you have been saved? You know it? Do you ever forget it? Do you take it for granted sometimes? Do you sort of just put, you know what? It's just like those soldiers. Just like those soldiers. We think about it maybe sometimes. I can't go into Central Baptist Hospital. I don't see that statue that old veteran sitting on that bench. Sometimes I just like to sit by him. Oh, he could tell some stories. How he put his life on the line so I could have some freedom, Shannon. Lest we forget, we need a Memorial Day. Now I know you're going to leave here and go to your cookouts and stuff, but I'll tell you this. Don't forget. Don't forget the ones that stood up here. Don't forget the ones who never made it back home alive. But don't forget the one that died on the cross. If you live in the country I live in, you get frustrated. We got this oil well that's pumping oil into the Gulf. How many barrels a day? 40-some days. And last year I paid $4 a gallon because it was out of oil. Y'all live in the same country I live in? Listen, Washington, D.C. makes me mad. But you know what? I don't think about Washington, D.C. very much. I think about the cross. And I think about the one that's going to take away all the problems of this world. What we got a shortage of today is not oil. It's a shortage of people sharing the gospel. A shortage of patriotism. A shortage of people that love the Lord. And what we need more than we've ever needed in our life is some grannies and papaws to step up and say, let me tell you a story. And some mom and dads to follow suit. And next thing you know, we're back on track. We're one generation, they always told us, from being atheists. And I'm very scared we're right there today. Because a young lady that was here Wednesday, she says, I'm not sure I believe in God. I'm not sure. That's her words from her mouth. I'm not sure. I can't imagine that. But it's real. It's right here. Are you going to make a difference? Is it time to remember? Is it time to step up? I think it is. Let's stand and pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, today,
we don't know the heart. Lord, I've shared mine today. I love America. I appreciate those who defended the freedom that I enjoy today. To be able to preach what I preach. Lord, I know that it's very easy to be taken away from. Lord, I pray today for the safety of the men and women who are defending that freedom still today. But Lord, I think of one even more important than this. I think about the honor that I owe you. The sin of Jesus to pay my sin debt. He did it all alone by himself. That we might win the victory. Lord, I pray you'll never be in vain. That every time someone dies without Jesus, it is in vain. Lord, I pray if there's anyone in this building today that's never accepted Christ as Savior, this might be the morning. Lord, maybe there's those here as Christians who realize that they've been taking some things for granted. They just need to maybe step up a little bit today. You might even want to dedicate their life to do more for you in the time you have left. Lord, have your way in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Sister, that's your place.